World Europa presents
Calling Europe, the first pan-European speed podcast.
Welcome back, everyone, to our speed podcast Calling Europe, where we interview vultures from around the continent. Today, I'm talking to you from my holidays in Venice, Italy, which is why I apologize in advance for the bad sound quality. In this episode, I'll be interviewing Joachim Wilke, who was nominated by Anouk Owens in the last episode. His story is an especially insightful one as he works with our MEP in Brussels. Welcome, Joachim. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you very much for having me. And also shout out to Anouk for nominating me. I'm very excited and looking forward to the questions. And I hope I'll be able to answer all of them appropriately.
Thank you very much for being here. We're also very excited to have you. And let's get straight to our first part of the podcast, where we meet you, we get to learn a little bit more about you personally.
The profile.
So Joachim, where in Europe do you live?
I now live in Brussels. I've been living here for 6 years. Before I joined the parliament, I did an internship, and then I found a full-time job, and then Damian got elected. And so I'm still here in Brussels.
Nice, thank you. And when did you join Volt?
I joined Volt in April 2018. Yeah, and directly the Volt Belgium team, because yeah, I was made aware of it by friends of mine. And then I realized that I knew Damian from before too. And then the message resounded quite strongly with me. And then I signed up and I met everyone and I became head of the Belgian policy team pretty quickly after that. So yeah, I've been in Volt now for more than 2 years.
What is your job at Volt, Joachim?
At Volt, I'm just a normal member of Volt Belgium. But for Damian, I'm the head of office of his office in the European Parliament. And I'm also the constitutional affairs advisor for Damian. So that means that I work on everything related to electoral law, reform, the right of inquiry, a little bit of Brexit, and all sorts of things that are kind of big and take a long time.
Nice. Super interesting, actually. It's also really interesting for us to hear that insight for the first time. And what is your favorite place in Europe?
That's a very good question. There are many, but I'm coming back from Brittany, and it kind of won my heart over. So I'm going to say Brittany for now. There are many places that I like, but for now, I think I would like to go back to Brittany and live a little bit there.
Okay. I also stalked you a little bit on LinkedIn, I have to admit. You speak French, don't you?
Yes, I do. It was actually my first language in school, thanks to my sisters, because they said French is more difficult than English. And then I went to do my Erasmus in Aix-en-Provence for a year, which was great, to be honest. And then there I really learned how to speak French fluently.
Nice. I'm actually a French citizen myself and lived in Lyon for a year.
Ah, you lucky person. Lyon is wonderful.
On continue juste cet épisode en français, c'est ça?
Oui, un peu si tu veux, mais ça sera voilà, pire pour les autres qui parlent pas.
Exactement. All right. Okay, thank you for your answers. Now that we know you a little bit better, let's take a deeper dive in the next part.
The three questions.
We're going to ask you three questions, one from which was from Anouk.
Question number one.
Which key achievements would, in your eyes, make Damian's MEP term a successful one if you're looking back in 2024?
I think there are a couple. If it's okay, I'm going to split them into groups related to our committee work, a general one, and then related to a group that we started, the Young Europeans. So I start with, for us or for me, our work in the parliament would be a success if, in general, we were able to put Volt as a political party on the map in European politics. And that includes kind of making Volt a respectful party that people recognize and that people want to work with, not just within the European Parliament, but also in regional and national and also local parliaments. So that's kind of the general approach that I would consider success. If we come to my topic in constitutional affairs, I think a key here, if we get it done, is to reform the electoral law in Europe. So that means that we are able to really reform elections and how they're being held, and that we have transnational lists that people can vote for directly, and that we harmonize electoral rules across all of the 27 member states. And then I think a last one in AFCO is, in general, that we really want to strengthen the committee's role, but thereby strengthen the parliament's role vis-a-vis the member states and the commission. Because currently AFCO is still not too active. And now that we are kind of responsible, the spokesperson for the Greens in the European Parliament, we really want to make this Constitutional Affairs Committee a really strong and active committee and make it relevant in politics. And so that, you know, you guys that vote, but also that the media and other people speak about issues such as elections and electoral law reform and you know, the right of initiative for the parliament. So that's that would be, for me, a success if we get that done. And then lastly, because I also work on this, is a group of young European members of the European Parliament that we started back in October. It's a group of around 40 MEPs between the age of 25 and 40, I would say. And we are now really trying to, you know, make the parliament more interesting, you know, create a debating culture that is actually fascinating and controversial in the plenary and in the committees, but also, you know, reform the way that the parliament works in ways, you know, that the parliamentarians can spend more time in their constituencies and actually spend time with the voters. So if we make this group successful and recognizable and saying like, oh, wow, this is what the young Europeans did. If we get there by 2024, then this would be a success. So I think that summarizes it quite well. It's quite a lot. But, you know, we are ambitious in this office.
Yeah, but it's pretty interesting, actually. And I really want to thank you again for your insights, because there are many things I think that you don't see about the inner culture of the European Parliament and of European politics if you're not part of it. And that is an amazing opportunity. Like, for example, and a question that I would like to follow up on this one is, do you think that maybe formulated a little bit bluntly, the discussion culture in the European Parliament is boring, that you would like to make it more exciting? Or do you think that it's a little bit in a stalemate or something?
It's very boring. I have to be honest. If you imagine the British House of Commons, where, you know, there's an exchange and people discuss back and forth, and questions are asked and answered. In the European Parliament, the nature is more, we look at our sheet of paper, we look into the camera, we speak to a camera, but not really to each other. And then we sit down and leave the plenary. So there's no exchange, there's no interaction, no one responds to the other person's comments or questions. So there really is a lack of debating culture. So we are really trying to make this interesting, not just for the media, but also for citizens to really, you know, be engaged and find it interesting to listen to political European political discussion.
That is actually super, super exciting to hear, because Micha and I all think about exactly the same issues and exactly the same questions within our organization of Volt, because we have an organization which stretches across the whole continent, people who do not see each other, people who do not meet each other on a regular basis. And we always try to find ways to make them interact, ways to make them sit together, ways to make them exchange. And I think it's actually really, really exciting and interesting to hear that you are also working on similar problematics from a different perspective.
Question number two.
Okay, all right. So let me get to the second question, which was asked by Anouk.
Now you're a year in office to support Damian as our MEP, and I would love to hear what you see as the biggest lesson you've learned while managing Damian's office.
I think for me, the biggest lesson is to be forward-looking and to be prepared to what's coming. I think the worst is for a parliamentarian to not know what's going on when he's asked the question. So we are trying to look ahead, not just 6 months, but we are also looking ahead until 2024, but also every day. Like we are now looking ahead to what we're going to do tomorrow, what Damian's going to do tomorrow, when is he going to speak, what kind of questions could he get. So I think that's the most important part for me that I've learned and that the team as a whole has learned, because we are trying to always plan well ahead and give enough time for Damian to be prepared as well. I think the second one, just quickly, because that's more of a kind of technical one, I feel this preparedness. I think the second one, in terms of a more of a personal basis, I think is to create really an open and trusted environment amongst all of us, amongst all of the members of the team, and to really speak out and be open and, you know, with each other. And when there's a problem, to address it directly. And I think Damian helped a lot in bringing this culture with them, and we implemented it quite well. So there is a lot of debate in this office, which is really helpful because we're trying to get the best possible outcome. So we discuss a lot and we trust each other and a lot as well. So I think that's my second lesson, if I'm allowed to add a second.
And it sounds actually very representative of lessons that I've heard. I have also myself learned this very open, very constructive culture that we have in Volt in general, and that I've heard also from other members.
Question number three.
So that makes me get to my third question, which relates actually to our work in the podcast and to our internal communications efforts in general. As you might have heard of the European Report, and we are in general in a unique position as a political organization with volunteers all over Europe and an MEP representing them in the European Parliament. So now there comes the question, how does the MEP office communicate its work as Volt's representation to the volunteers of our organization?
There are multiple ways of how we communicate with Volt as a whole and also to the outside world. But if we look only at Volt, I think one of the key instruments is the workplace updates that Damian shares. We haven't done one in the summer and we apologize, but usually we try to do one every week and elaborating on what we've done this week and what Damian did and who he met. Second one is evidently all the different social media channels that are thankfully followed by a lot of Volters. And that just not just, you know, Facebook and Twitter, but it's also on Instagram and LinkedIn that we try to communicate about our work here. I mean, this addresses a broader circle of people, but it also is addressed at Volt. I think we do have also physical means of communication. There are visitor groups who've come to the European Parliament, and I invite everyone to apply and to come and visit us once this health crisis is over. You are more than welcome to come and visit Damian and us in the European Parliament. But there's also visits that Damian does to different, you know, Volt chapters across the continent. And our goal is to make him go to all of them and say hello to all of them and support the different chapters in their election strategies and electoral efforts. And then there's always, you know, we as a team, apart from Damian, we all are responsible for a region. So I'm partly responsible for, you know, Southern Europe, including Belgium and Luxembourg. So I'm in quite regular touch with Volt Italy and Volt Portugal and Volt Spain and talk to their communication leads and leadership. But also, you know, all of the rest of my team is responsible for all of the other parts of Europe, Volt Europe. And then there's always, you can call us. I always try to, you know, underline this when I speak to Volters, you know, directly or via Zoom or other means of communication, is that you can always write us an email. You can ask us anything and we try to get back to you as quickly as possible or give us a call. I mean, that's what we're here for. I've been in touch quite a lot with, you know, Volt Germany on a couple of things because they came to visit and then had follow-up questions and we had some questions on master's theses, et cetera. So I think this is quite important and I would like to underline that we try to be as open as possible and respond as quickly as possible. But yeah, I think those are the different channels that we try to keep Volt involved in what we do. If I may just add one last one, I think one thing that's very important to us is the exchange on policy. Me, for example, on constitutional affairs and electoral law, I have a direct channel with the people who work on electoral law. Johannes, who works a lot on data and AI and cloud, he has a direct channel to people within Volt who work on that too. So all of the Volters really help us to define our policy direction, the way that we amend laws in the European Parliament. And I think that's incredibly helpful for us because our brain is only one brain and Volters have thousands of ideas and thousands of brains. So we're really, really grateful for all of the help that we can get there. But yeah, I think that covers it, which is quite a lot. I hope people feel it too.
Yeah, it is quite a lot. I think it's also very interesting to really rehear all of these different ways and opportunities that one as a Volter has to communicate with you guys. I think oftentimes we forget it. We kind of get lost a little bit in our daily Volt business and don't realize that we have a representative that we can talk to directly and we can get active and really be part of this political process. Which is actually a huge privilege, I think, when you can really identify with a party like this. If I may add a few more things, of a couple more channels, definitely the one we're using right now. This is, I think, really interesting. I think many people will be very, very happy about hearing about the insights and the stuff that you're saying right now. And something else, which with Rina Haidari has been helping us a lot, really a lot lately, and before that it was Blanche, is the European Report. And it is now actually part of the 20 strategic actions of Bolt until 2024. We're going to institutionalize it more in the future. And it is definitely, I think, the most systemic way that Bolters have to get access to basic information of what you guys have been doing in the past month. And I would like to express my thanks and definitely props to Irina again and the whole office for that.
I'll let her know immediately. No, I know I did a little bit of work on that with Blanche back in, I think, at the beginning of the year. And now I know that Rina has taken over and it's really helpful. It's a great product, to be honest. It's really cool. And everything is very to the point in a couple of slides.
Thank you. So Joachim, thank you very much for your answers. Those have been really, really interesting. I'm sure not just for me, but for anyone who will be listening to this episode. Now we're getting to the last part of the podcast where you get to set the sail a little bit. You get to set some things for the next call. First of all, you get to choose a song that we're going to add to our official Volturova playlist.
Your favorite song.
So Joachim, which song would you like to choose?
Yeah, it's Kim Carnes' Betty Davis Eyes.
I love how reactive you are, how you immediately knew which song you're gonna put on the playlist. Did you dream of it, or where does it come from?
No, I've been listening to it this morning on my way to work.
Awesome, thank you.
The nomination.
And who would you like to nominate for our next call? And what would you like to ask her? Because it has to be someone from the other gender.
So I would like to nominate Ana Carvalho from Vol Portugal. She's the Secretary General there and she's been doing an amazing job there. And I would like to ask you, Ana, what made you get involved in politics and in Vol Portugal? And maybe if I may add, what is your vision for Vol Portugal for the next year?
Awesome. I can't wait to hear the answer to that question then. So thank you for listening, everyone. Thank you for being part of this. You can find all of our episodes on YouTube and Spotify, and you can find the official Volturova playlist for Calling Europe on Spotify under that name. It was a lot of fun. Have a beautiful day and see you next time.
Bye, everyone. And thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you for inviting me. Can't wait to listen to this. Have a wonderful day and a great week.
That was
Calling Europe, a production of Volturova.